Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday mornings were your favorite. I used to meet you down on Woods Creek Road. You did your hair up like you were famous, even though it's only church where we were going. Now, Sunday mornings I just sleep in. It's like I buried my faith with you. I'm screaming at the God I don't know if I believe in, 'cause I don't know what else I can do. I'm still holding on to everything that's dead and gone. I don't wanna say goodbye, 'cause this one means forever. Now you're in the stars, and 6 feet's never felt so far. Here I am alone between the heavens and the embers. Oh, it hurts so hard. For a million different reasons, you took the best of my heart and left the rest in peace. Digging through your old birthday letters, a crumpled 20 still in the box. I don't think that I could ever find a way to spend it, even if it's the last 20 that I've got. Oh, I'm still holding on to everything that's dead and gone. I don't wanna say goodbye, 'cause this one means. It left the rest in peace. I'm still holding, holding, holding on. I'm still holding, holding, holding on. I'm still holding, holding, still holding on. I'm still holding on. I'm still holding on. Everything that's dead and gone. I don't wanna say goodbye, 'cause this one means forever. Now you're in the stars, and 6 feet never felt so far. Here I am alone between the heavens and the embers. Oh, it hurts so hard. For a million different reasons, you took the best of my heart. Rest in peace.
Hello world, happy Monday. You're listening to The Garden of Enlightenment with Louie Wildove and Grey Eyes Smith. Unfortunately, Louie Wildove is under the weather and won't be able to host this evening. That said, these shows are brought to you by a group on allpoetry.com called Late Night Poets. And we are a fantastic group of wonderful poets that come together with these shows every other day, or sometimes twice a day. Every day, but sometimes twice a day. And we have anthologies available on Amazon.com under the same moniker of Late Night Poets. And they're filled with poetry from around the world. So feel free to check those out and help support these shows. All right, that said, tonight's show is based on a contest that Louie Wildove and myself ran, and it was called, it's a quote prompt by Osho. It says, the quote is, "A certain darkness is needed to see the stars, Osho," end quote. And So that's the gist of tonight's show, as well as some carryovers from last week's show as well. So that's the gist of it for tonight. And I'm going to check out the studio and see if we have any callers. Here we do. Hello, Pam Ray, and welcome to the show.
Hello, Grey Eyes Smith. It is wonderful to be here. How are you doing?
I'm great, thank you. And how are you?
I'm great, too. I like the quote that Lou and you chose. I always, like I said before, and I'll say it again, you guys just have a gift for choosing quotes. You know, this was a great one for inspiration.
Absolutely. Thank you. Surely you will appreciate that. She is the artist who selects all the quotes, so kudos to her. All right, so I'm going to grab the first poem here, if you wouldn't mind when you see it, this for us, Pam.
I would be happy to. All right. All right. This is Those Sinners, You and I by Joseph DiMaggio. And, oh, it says at the bottom he's going to call in to read his poem.
Yeah, this was aired last week.
Oh, it was aired last week. Okay. Okay, my apologies. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure. Okay. So, Those Sinners, You and I by Joseph DiMaggio. And it goes like this. Here are a myriad of reasons why fate evaded my confrontation. Why on earth would she speak to me again? For it was I who made my own bed, though I did not sleep, and it was a bed, but a bed of nails. I shudder to say more, for I fear her sister destitute will arise with a plight beyond my might to make me suffer for the pain I have inflicted. As remorseful acts, I was once addicted to many bad habits I once carried. Around my neck was an anchor disguised as a necklace. These days, I found forgiveness with God. But truth be told, I'm far from being refined. Too many stones, so much wasted time. Rivers did I cry by night. Through valleys of fog, lurking with fogs, is my journey filled until I reach heaven with nigh God's lonely man. He can be seen during the day. During the night, pray for me, and so will I, that of our travels may be rewarded. Those sinners, you and I, and poem.
We'll read, Pam. And that was a powerful poem on the subject of living as a sinner and plodding forward through life, regardless of the outcome. And, you know, praying that your travels will be rewarded. Those sinners, you and I. I thought it was just a fantastic poem on the subject of living life as a sinner. Well done. And Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, you know, I thought this was a wonderful spiritual rite. I like the first person narrative. I like that he brings around the idea of, you know, how we learn that we hurt other people and we learn that, you know, we have to try to make amends and be better people, but to accept that, you know, they might not always, you know, forgive us. But I like how there's a couple different things. I like this right all the way through, but what particularly stood out to me was the line that says, around my neck was an anchor disguised as a necklace. You know, like I was like all the things that he was doing again to hurt other people and hurt himself was disguised as something beautiful, and yet was this weight pulling him down. I also liked where he mentioned, and I can't find it, but there's a part where he mentioned about not yet being refined. And that kind of makes me think of the whole idea that, you know, that we're always a work in progress. We're constantly finding new ways to better ourselves, you know, emotionally, spiritually, you know. So, you know, beautiful, right, and very well done.
Excellent comment, Pam. Thank you for that. Okay, let me grab the next poem. I'm going to post this to the group. Do it real quick here. Oop. Okay. All right. So this is called Moulin Shore by Lu Jia. And when you kiss me, I almost start to cry. I admire your eyes wrinkle as you smile. Your tongue intertwines with mine. Our temperatures align and our heartbeats synchronize. As your gaze catches my eyes, your hand meets with my desires. You listen closely to my sighs and devour me entirely despite my cries. Your touch is aggressive, but the pain is addictive. I don't want to distort you with my ideas. Cherish who you are, not as a mere idea. There is only one thing I fear, that you would change if I interfered. You are perfect as you are. I'd be content with watching you from afar. You are nothing but a mystery, a prince built on fantasy. And poem. Yeah, that was a beautifully written poem about giving somebody wholeheartedly to another and being ready to be eaten alive, so to speak, and just throwing yourself on that fire. So beautiful job, Lu Jia. And Pam, what did you think?
I have to agree. You know, I was Googling Moulin Shore while I was listening. I couldn't find it, anything reference to it. So that has me curious. And, you know, I always enjoy learning and I always enjoy, you know, the opportunity to think of something new. This poem was, I would say, almost bittersweet, because in the first part, you are, me personally, I was so captivated and just so in awe of this type of love where these heartbeats are synchronized, they're gazing into each other's eyes. You know, there's a strong passion of, you know, physical and emotional connection, even, and then you get a little darker with the addiction to the pain, but even that's sexy in its own way. But then, you know, at the very end, it hits you. I'd be content with watching you from afar. You are nothing but a mystery, a prince built on a fantasy. And the realization that this lover, you know, this chemistry does not exist except for in the imagination, you know. So it just it's bittersweet, but it's so beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. That was a very astute comment. All right, I'm going to grab the next poem. And if you wouldn't mind when you see this, Pam.
Absolutely, I'd be happy to. All right. And, oh, well, I recognize that person. I hear she's a troublemaker.
You're right.
This is Smudges of Skyline, and it goes like this. In a lost land seeping shadows, he marches towards smudges of skyline, inhaling the last journey of sunlight, death in all its forms, death in all its glory, cloaked in a hero's welcome home. They do not recognize him. The angel Mercy has lost her arms to the edge of a butcher's blade. Thieves in the hollow of the heart carry the tree to cut the limb. Pretty boys painted red, scars oozing a parallel of lines. The horse's tail divides the dark side of a copper moon. End poem.
That was an epic brevity, Pam. You know, you say so much in your poem that it's definitely mesmerizing and intriguing. You know, it really pulls you into this world, this dark world where death is apparent in all its form and death in its glory. You know, and then you've got this angel of mercy who lost her limbs, arms to the edge of a butcher's blade, with thieves in the hollow of the heart carrying the tree to cut the limbs. Just fascinating imagery, Cam. Beautifully done. Would you like to say anything about your poem?
Well, you know, you really touched on to me was the a lot of the important parts of the poem with the idea of death. You know, I looked at that picture that I chose for the prompt, and it looked to me like almost this idea of a warrior, a soldier coming home from a war and having that kind of weight upon their shoulder of defeat. And the two ideas, the main ideas that I was trying to capture with this poem, and of course everything's always open to interpretation, is first of all, when a soldier comes home, he comes home a different person, almost unrecognizable to family and friends. And the other idea is, you know, that war hurts everything and everyone. Violence hurts everything and everyone. The sunlight, you know, nature herself becomes divided. And, you know, and so just, well, anyway, that's about what I would say about it. So thank you for your astute comment there. I appreciate it, Gray.
Thank you, Pam. Wonderful. Thank you for sharing your info, insight on the story. Okay, so I've got the next poem here, and this one has a SoundCloud. I will post this into the group, and then I will play it. There we go.
Symbiotic Stasis by E.J. Cole. Blessed would be this battered soul to imbibe from the Gamla waterfalls of your eyes, within resplendent Rosh Hanikra caves and grottos entombed, I would memorize the way warm waves bend to your whims, shaping shifting light shafts against sacred channels. To die happy would be to drown therein, suspended by tide-swept Galilee annals. Oh, sear my heart of its wickedness. Grant me a finite taste of your infiniteness. Cantillate of white-marbled frescoes and gold-leaf sky from silvered flutings limitless. I crave to be swallowed whole by the swelling vastness of your grace. Alas, I am tainted. Toxic, vile venom, unworthy impurity, inflicting only ruination, cauterized scarification, forever separated from pyres, prophets, sainted. Your benefaction merely softens my carnivorous edges. Lo, their rows are plenty. Such mercies become undignified upon my invertebrate cells, cracked and empty. Still you send me peerless spiraled shells filled with gemstone stars and cosmic dusted laughter. I reciprocate with salt-encrusted artillery casings maimed by war's disaster. You accept my offerings with a smile that blithely tempts the verge of obliteration. Time-bottled gifts bathe me in glass chime notes of the sea, overtaken by your vibration. I am but driftwood, effusing your music as I float dead and helpless, left sand-stranded. High-frequency resonance embodied by lifeless terebinth, fate's fair fortune landed.
Beautiful read and a fascinating poem. I mean, you know, it's definitely metaphorically rich and its imagery is powerful. You can feel the emotions throughout the rite as well. I crave to be swallowed whole by the swelling vastness of your grace. Alas, I am tainted. Toxic, vile venom, unworthy impurity, inflicting only ruination. Cauterized scarification, forever separated from pyres, prophets, tainted. It's just a hauntingly beautiful poem. What did you think, Pam?
Oh, yeah, I have to agree. It definitely is haunting. It's absolutely beautiful. It has a wonderful flow to it with the couplets. And I was you know, had to look up, of course, the word stasis, which means like a kind of a time of no action, a kind of stillness. You know, it was powerful and emotive with strong imagery and metaphors that kind of speak of the idea of two people or, you know, depend on each other. And this idea of not feeling worthy for the gifts given. I really like, I reciprocate with salt and crusted artillery casings maimed by war's disaster. You accept my offering with a smile that blithely tempts the verge of obliteration. Time bottles that gifts bathe me in glass chime notes of the sea overtaken by your vibrations. That's wonderful lines there and very well done.
Absolutely. Beautiful comment, Sam. Thank you so much for that. All right. I'm going to go to the next poem here. Go check the studio real quick here. And it's just you and I, Sam.
Just us two turkeys.
Called You Are Heroine by Mamya. You are heroin, powder in my nose, rubbed against my gums, sweet ecstasy in danger of overdose, wanting more of you. The taste of your mind reminds me of milkweed, like green beans with a hint of peaches. I am a monarch, living only for a fortnight. Be mine, only mine. My drug of choice, my only life source is you. And poem. Yeah, I mean, when somebody becomes so addicted that is their only source of life, you know, that's a powerful and dangerous place to be, but beautifully expressed. What did you think, Pam?
Oh, I have to agree. I think this is a wonderful take on your prompt from your last Art of Seduction show. Know this, I'm addicted to you. I've tasted your mind, and I cannot forget its flavor. I really like that she brings in the tasting, like it's not just the imagery you look at, but you can imagine the touch, like the taste of your mind reminds me of milkweed, like green beans with a hint of peaches. I like how there's such a different combinations of touch and taste there. And then I am a monarch living only for a fortnight. Be mine, only mine. You know, if we thought about it, that, you know, the lives we live are like happen in the blink of an eye compared to all eternity. And what we would choose and who we would choose to spend that, our brief amount of time that we have on Earth with really shows, you know, how much we need them. And so just a wonderful write and very well done.
Beautiful comment, Pam. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to grab the next poem here. And if you wouldn't mind, please, Pam.
I would be happy to.
Awesome.
All right. Corrupting You by Vectis Man. Nothing you could give me would ever make me feel inclined. Like a flash, I could bend you, turn at you, and twist your mind. Don't think you can tease me by anyone at all that's worthy. My loving would destroy you. I could use you like any floozy. Taking away sweet innocence, you would crave for my touch. Corrupting your mind and soul is easy. It wouldn't take much. The thrill of enslaving you, if you knew how good it feels. I'm thinking of you helpless, addicted to my making sexual deals. You will do anything to please experiment in a ruby red light. Beg me to teach more games, urge to play night by night. Love living in your mind's desire. Love longing to make it real. Nothing sacred to save you. I enjoy how helpless you'll feel. While wanting to play my fiddle, you won't find a new beginning. All you want is more corruption. You can't get enough of sinning. No one will try to save your soul, no cure for your corrupted mind. Don't think I'll be your savior. Your will has been assigned. End poem.
Beautiful read, Pam. And, I mean, you know, this is a powerful poem on the subject of controlling somebody with their love and turning it into corrupted passion. And, you know, it really hits home with me how much people use each other to further themselves and their screwed up mental games. And, you know, I hope this is a fictional, not a factional poem, for sure. And Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, you know, I have to agree with you. It is a powerful poem. You know, and, at first I wasn't really sure. At first I was thinking, you know, maybe it's a kind of a Black Lace Diaries theme with a dom and a sub. But then it went on and it became more darker, as if there was the ideas you were mentioning, a very unhealthy relationship. But I kind of, as I got to the end, I was at the end and was seeing, you know, no one will try to save your soul, no cure for your corrupted mind. Don't think I'll be your savior. Your will has been assigned. There almost comes across to me as two different thoughts. One is that this is almost the personification of an addiction, like a drug talking to somebody and, you know, saying, like for example, where it says, I'm thinking of you helpless, addicted to making sexual deals. You know, the thing, like somebody who has to pay for a drug they're addicted to will go so far as to sell their body. Another thing is it kind of has that idea of standing at the crossroads and making a deal with the devil. But it definitely has an extremely dark undertone in the idea of control, addiction, and abuse. So excellent write and very well done.
Again, another very astute comment, Pam. Okay, so I've got the next poem up, and this is by J.A. Hartley. It's called Sweet Addiction. It's what you do to me inside that hurts. Out here, I can escape you, but inside, you're my God, rousing me incessantly, waking me with your call to prayer, to pilgrimage. I am your disciple, a saint for you, the world divine. I need only you to live. No food, no water, no air. These images of you in my mind, like wands, spells, are heaven. Your body is scripture, hidden meanings, depths, awe. I need only to touch the cover to feel the message in my soul. More powerful than I am, you bring me to my knees, pliant. Ready to worship, I surrender. You are a drug which will destroy me, but I always want more. I need more, and I will sell myself and all I have to burn my lips on you again. For your high, I will rot in hell, betray everyone, even die myself. For death would be a break from the constant fight. I love you, but I curse the first sight of your eyes. End poem. It had a powerful, you know, atmosphere of total devotion and throwing yourself on the pyre for somebody, and how much it haunts you daily throughout your day, that they fill every waking moment of your thoughts. That powerful poem on the addiction of somebody. Beautiful, right? What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, I really enjoyed and appreciated this. It was a wonderful sensual write on the idea of control and, as you said, being addicted to somebody. You know, I really like, I have to say, and I know not everybody does, but I'm particularly fond of sensuality that brings in the idea of spirituality. You incessantly waking me with your call to prayer, to pilgrimage, your body is scripture, hidden meaning, depths, awe. You know, the idea that this person is something more than just a necessity or something more than just a desire. They're a necessity to feed your spirit and your body. So just a wonderful sensual rite and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Thank you. Okay, I'm posting the next poem if you wouldn't mind, please, Pam.
All right. Unrecovered by Versus Goliath. And it goes like this. Do you know the difference between a user and absolute addict? It's all in the dosage, not being able to cope without it. There were evenings I could fool myself, saying my cravings were fully shelved. Sat before a picture of the past, matching smiles, probably our last, high as ended with unpoetic craftiness, like balloons popped in lower intestine, heroin never found lying on the ground, sofa king crowned, emotion rot drowned, this throne dusty as the metal tarnishes, tisk, 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 the strung out maid should have finished. At one point, she would have, yes, she had been, yet she had been banished. Those faraway lands chosen look like puzzle pieces settling in, more fertile than kingdom frozen, whose main export, itchy nettles. Scratch the nerve endings, please, one last time, fill veins with peace. That slithering finger gliding up arm, hair on neck rising like pleasant alarms. Sweet nothings sing the distance from harm. Careful flecks of feather touch royalty disarmed. No weapon slice as deep as betrayal. Flesh loses motivation to continue. Message mute as vacuum ensues. Scream into the nothing for something never returning. What that first hike to mountaintop, initial moments, breath stopped. So sweaty, thought we'd need a mop. The application of every salty drop. Gone to the wind like ashes scattered. Left to wonder how much it all mattered. End poem.
Well, beautiful read, Pam. And I mean, this is a very visceral poem. I mean, you can see all this as you read through it. And the power of addiction taking you to mountaintop, breathless and sweating, and gone to the wind like ashes scattered, left to wonder how much it mattered. You know, the coming down of being high on that mountaintop. Yeah, just a fascinating poem. Very deeply penned, for sure. What did you think, Pam?
I have to agree. This definitely was a strong write on the power of addiction. I like that. I always like the way Versus kind of balances and causes a sense of movement with his you know, placing of his stanzas. Definitely visceral imagery, especially when you go, like, I look at lines like highs ended with unpoetic crassness, like balloons popped in lower intestine. That is such just a horrific image that grabs your attention. And you realize it's all about how bad the people feel from coming down. You get the idea of two people getting high together. And when they're high, everything is beautiful at the top of the mountain. And, you know, when they come out of it, they crash. Another part that particularly got my attention was those faraway lands chosen look like puzzle piece setting in. More fertile than kingdom frozen, whose main export, itchy nettles. Scratch the nerve endings, please. One last time, fill veins with peace. You kind of, like, within those lines, you get the idea of, you know, what it must be like, you know, the horrible feeling of just needing that poke of that needle or the nettle, the stinging of the nettles to be, like, calmed down. So just a wonderful write and very well done.
Beautiful comment, Pam. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to post the next poem here. Before I give it a read, I'm going to check the studio real quick. And it's just you and I, Pam. All right, here we go. This is by Takunda P. Masingwini. It's called The One That Paints You Bright. Art is beautiful, but ain't deceitful. The heart feels dreadful. You can call me a fool. But girl, I miss you. I am breaking my rules. I'm starting to lose my cool. This feeling is eating my soul. But there is nothing like can do. Regrets are making me cold. I should have kept knocking on the door rather than letting my emotions flow. Girl, you are art. I'd hate to paint you blue after we meet again. I want to be the only one who paints you bright. You will always be missed. Always. End poem. And I mean, that poem has reeks of desperation, you know, for that reconnection of the love that he's lost. And, you know, it really hits home on that subject of that desperation of losing somebody and, you know, wishing that you could paint them bright as art. And, yeah, so powerful poem on that subject. Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, well, first of all, I thought it had a really nice flow to it with the rhyme. I really like the idea of wanting to take away someone's blues, their depression, and paint them with bright colors. But yeah, there is definitely a strong feeling of regret, of realizing that the love is never meant to be again. Just a strong emotional impact and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Thank you. Okay, I've got the next poem posted, if you wouldn't mind, please, Pam.
I would be happy to. Youthfulness of the Mind by Jesna Sajan, and it goes like this. Come engulf into my ocean, drown into my seas unseen, caress upon the broken boulders, or my mane rest on my shoulders. Together, ride on brown beauty, forget all trials and temptations, cares of duty. Leave all people we love, care and know, climb the clouds of fluffy dreams, arrow and bow. Come, let us sway into the glitzy, glittery breeze, climb the cold mountains, revolve, ready to freeze. Dive deep down, holding our hands, grip in pace, carried by our parachutes, dangling in space. Come arouse my senses, teach me to fly. Our young youth will yonder, will soar our dreams high. End poem.
Beautiful read, Pam. And, you know, I thought it was a deeply romantic poem, you know, about wanting to fly with your lover and being so high that you fly, galloping together, riding on a brown beauty, forgetting all the trials and temptation and the cares of duty, just being free and soaring on the wind. Such a powerful image and fantastic emotions. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, definitely. I loved this. I like that the title is Youthfulness of the Mind. Like, not necessarily that the body has to be youthful, but that the mind is. I really like the second stanza where it makes you think of, like, riding on a horse. It makes me, you know, of course, you know, it makes me think of the book Black Beauty and the movie. And I really like the alliteration in this and the glitzy glitter breeze, you know. And, you know, there's such a wonderful sense of wanting, desiring those adventures which move the senses. So beautifully written and very well done.
That was a great comment, Pam. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to post the next poem. I'll give this a read.
Oh, Ray, I noticed you have a caller. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Thank you. All right, here we go. Hello, area code 703. Is that you, Bobby?
It is. Just me.
Hey, Bobby.
Hi.
Hi.
Welcome.
How's
to the
everyone
show
this evening? Thank you.
We're good. Been missing you.
Yeah, I heard you read, Pam. Did a beautiful job. That's a lovely piece. Like you said, very, very romantic, very in touch with nature.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Okay, Bobby, I've got the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind reading.
Oh, no, I don't mind. Two, there we go. We have The Carpenter's Kids by Jack Tomkovic. Neo-surrealistic realism. Can a poet on a planet deconstruct that gibberish? Life plus 33 years, said the Jewish guy from Nazareth, carpenter's kid. Darn if he ever built a solid table without a shim. Cabinet he made fell off the hook and broke. My wife's mom's pottery just saying, don't hang wallpaper in a house he crafted. Cried for 3 years, but planted roses for the scent. Still write poems, not clear how rocky the road or how steep the climb. Ideas are comets slicing across the sky. All we can do is grab a few as they go by. End poem.
Beautiful read, Bobby. And I liked his comment in his author's notes. He says, I actually heard the phrase neo-surrealistic realism in college poetry class. Should have quit right there. But, no, that was a fabulous write. I mean, you know, you can see all this as the carpenter's kid, damned if he ever built a solid table without a shim. Cabinet he made fell off the hook and broke. My wife's mom's pottery, just saying, don't hang wallpaper in a house he crafted. I really liked it. It was a fantastic poem. And beautiful read, Bobby. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, you know, I thought there was a lot of clever lines to this. You know, some little nice tidbits of humor, very thought-provoking. You know, I think to me it really speaks on the idea of, you know, trying to understand each other, trying to understand our own abilities and things that we like, you know, like we almost expect because we grew up with people who did had a certain gift, like woodwork, that we should be able to immediately do the same thing. And, you know, it just really an intriguing write. I really like to still write poem, not clear how rocky the road or how deep the climb. Ideas are comets slicing across the sky. I really like the idea that, you know, ideas are comets, and sometimes we're able to grab a hold of the tail and soar, and, you know, other times we just miss the opportunity. I did have to laugh at the and smile at the life plus 33 years that said the Jewish guy from Nazareth, carpenter's kid, darned if he ever built a solid table without a shim. You know, that to me is just a clever and fun reference to the idea that Jesus was a carpenter's kid, and yet the things he built were totally different than what his father built. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. That was a beautiful comment. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I thought it was a very clever write. It's reverential and spiritual in a very subtle way. The references are abstract, but they're very clear. And he writes about how even though he built things, that wasn't his forte. That wasn't why he that wasn't where he lived his life. And I also like the last two stanzas. Ideas are comets slicing across the sky. All we can do is grab a few as they go by. Beautifully phrased. It's a very and the way it's just it's the stanzas are so brief. Very, very beautifully done.
Good comment, Bobby. Thank you. Okay, I've got the next poem up. It's by Adrian 41062, and it's called Intoxicated. Hetty, intoxicated. You fill me like a drug. I crave for more. I am addicted to your lips. You thrill me to the core. I just want to overdose on you, but I know that it will be so sad. Please don't look at me and think I'm just a stepping stone, a fad. I need to understand how deep that our love blossoms and is real, because I'm head over heels in love. So please, tell me how you feel. I liked it. You know, it was short and simple, to the point. You know, are you in love with me, or am I just, you know, having pipe dreams here of being in love? And, yeah, I thought it was a fascinating little brevity. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, I have to agree with you. The straightforward style, it's to the point. I think it's a wonderful brevity, and the and I like that it touches on the idea. To me, this is probably, to most people, one of the scariest moments ever. But it's often something that each one of us has needed to go through at one point in our lives or another, and that is when you have strong feelings for somebody and the words really haven't been spoken between you, and you have to know, you know, how they feel. You know, is the love returned in the same way? And that's why I really like this all the way through, but I especially like, I need to understand how deep that our love blossoms and is real, you know, and because it's just, okay, I know how I feel about you, but do you feel the same way? Because you have realized that their answer will, you know, change your life in one way or another. So excellent writing, very well done.
Absolutely. Thank you, Pam. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
With Pam, it's very concise, but it speaks to experience, like Pam said, that we've all shared. You're feeling something for someone, really are drawn to this person, but there's always that trepidation that affection is not going to be returned. I need to understand how deep that our love blossom isn't it real, because I'm head over heels in love. So please tell me how you feel. And you're anxious and you're eager, but you're almost afraid to hear what the person's going to say, because should they say what you don't want to hear, it's just it's crushing. So this is a really very humanly written, very relatable piece.
Absolutely, Bobby. Great comment. Okay, Pam, I've got the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
I would be happy to. All right. And The Flower That Knights Made by BlueWrite76. Flower of life bloomed with rosy yawns and smiles, yet arrived on dark skies as clouds loomed in devil's clout. Manacles and tentacles in fierce grip as the angels smile through the black rain. Saviors descended to call the strifing chains, a lease of life from the gods ordained. Her smiles and sighs that call forth to embrace become the reason to permit them life, a drug in excess that the knights led, their empty vessels and treasures filled. Black clay, glad to find creator's hands, went into wild storms like starving beasts, to testing battles with will and love armed. Hope that draws you like the golden swan, behind the piper went with armors clad. A very soft pericarp of self-love alone, clung on perspiring toughest skins, just so that the night smiled at every wee dawn's shine. Didn't forget to take the orange scent or of the arbors and forests of enchanted life. When hope drowns in tender death, only to rouse the dead with her soft touch, to taste that drink of smallest victories that blooms and bloom and fade like the teasing dandelion. Yet life beckons with more green, slow crusades that the decades become. Not those wars that is smoke-filled doom, where knights lay in red in riverbeds, but those destined to rise at every turn, born forever again to be the night of she who drugs you with her innocent love and poem.
Beautiful read. And yeah, this is a powerful metaphysical and partially educational, right? I mean, it really is a beautiful statement on, you know, being the warrior for her love and, you know, the one that rises to her call. So just a fascinating poem. What did you think, Bobby?
Very classical, lyrical quality to it, almost like the Lady of Shalott. It does have that, the language is very classical. It's very beautifully written. It's one of those pieces that that demands several readings in order to really appreciate it fully, because there's some beautiful phrasing in here. Black clay, glad to find creator's hands, went into wild storms like starving beasts to testing battles with will and love armed. Some beautiful metaphors in here. I think this is a really it's a very cerebral write. You can't just skim through this. You really have to sit down and you have to digest it very thoroughly and slowly.
Absolutely, thank you, Pam. I mean, thank you, Bobby. And Pam, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I thought, Bobby, you had a really great observation there about how it does have that lyrical quality, like the late Lachant, it really does. Beautifully written, wonderful, imagery brought in. I really like that stanza that brings in a very soft pericarp of self-love alone clung on perspiring toughest skins just so that the night smile at every weed on shine. And they bring in the orange scent and the forest, and, you know, you can just draw in breath and almost, you know, smell that scent. Also, the bloom and fade like the teasing dandelion. It is a wonderful, thought-provoking rite that has a mythological quality to it, like a story of the creation of love, the creation of addiction. I feel like there definitely is a deeper thought there, a deeper meaning, perhaps along the idea of, you know, how easy it is to let our guard down when it comes to addiction. You know, so just a wonderful, thoughtful write and very well done.
Wonderful comment, Pam. Thank you. Okay, Bobby, I've got your poem up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Not at all. Okay. Whoops. must be from last week.
Yeah.
I plugged the new one into. That's all right. Not a problem. Yeah, this was from your quote by Atticus. Sensuous incendiary. Scorpio, water sign that derives its strength from the psychic, emotional realm. Her gaze, magnetic, mesmerizing. She has lured him into her arms, ensnared by sweet feverishness. In measured, controlled doses, her body speaks of passion and pleasure, bestowed by her internal, unseen self. Her private language of sensuality is to decode, decrypt, translate. He hungers for the opiate of her love, of her narcotic desire for him. Her presence is an elixir, her touch a restorative, her taste an addiction. Without it, insatiate, famished. He is her closely guarded secret, the man with enchanted hands. He, the explorer, journeys to her sultry gates of paradise. Welcome to the once darkly veiled mystery. Waves of energy and desire rise off her like summer heat off pavement. Drawn to the heat, he receives her nearness an unchecked blaze, and he ignites, incineration imminent. As he draws near, her is now torrid, the water sign, an alluring inferno, can only quench heat with more heat, fervor with fervor, fire with fire. The conflagration grows. Both are consumed. Sensuous incendiary has devoured all, but his phoenix will arise from his smoldering ashes when with a knock at the gate or heat or intensity will beckon again. End poem.
Beautiful read, and just such a, a hot and passionate sensual poem filled with desire and passion. Sensuous and cindery has devoured all, but his phoenix will arise from his smoldering ashes when, with a knock at the gate, her heat, her intensity will beckon again. Yeah, and he will just throw himself onto the fire. It's just a beautiful hot and steamy write, Bobby. Well done.
Thank you.
Pam, what are your thoughts? Absolutely.
Yeah, I have to agree. I mean, this is just, it's strong imagery and metaphors. It's powerful. I really like how there is this buildup of intensity as far as the seduction goes. I really like, she says, when you say in measured control doses, her body speaks of passion and pleasure. And then he hungers for the opiate of her love, of her narcotic desire for him. And let's see what else. But wonderful lines all the way through. But waves of energy and desire rise off her like summer heat of payment, drawn to the heat he receives her nearness, an unchecked blaze, and he ignites, incinerates, imminent. I like how there's this idea of that almost like energy-like connection in the sexuality that's, radiating between these two people. So just a wonderful sensual write, Bobby, and very well done.
Thank you very much.
Would you like to say anything about your poem, Bobby?
Not really. I picked a theme, and I just kind of went with the theme of heat and flame, and tried to associate as much as I could with it, and it sorted itself out pretty nicely.
Yeah, it turned a beautiful job, Bobby. Okay, thank you. I'm going to post the next poem here. This is by S. Sharp. It's called Fleeting Serenity, The Fleeting Serenity. Looking out of this glass bubble in steel, black donuts stick to black ribbons, cutting through various shades and tones, seas of brown on this daily occurrence of deja vu. Almost everything stops. Visionary orbs close like Venus flytrap upon the mortal that shall replenish its strength. The highway of the mind opens its ears like music to a blind man. Clickety-click of his cane on the streets, vibrating strings across the bridge is the snarled congestion I no longer hear. I see Bach floating notes upon the Ladenburg, arms raised, his fluttering fingers caress the neck, gallantly holding his bow, a warrior hunting the great white buffalo. In anticipation of this brilliant fiddler attends my cue as I am the conductor and raising my hands to wave him on. This orchestra of no one awaits at last, like the wind lifts the wings of peace. I invite the sound of dreams, only to hear the sound of honk, honk, honk. Traffic is moving again. End poem. And in his author's notes, he says, the Ladenburg is a Guarneri de Gasso violin that was manufactured in 1735. The violin is known to have been played by many famous violinists, including virtuoso Nicola Paganini. The violin was sold to Robert Macduff of the United States in 1992 for $3.5 million. The white buffalo and Native American tail symbolizes the return of peace and serenity on Earth. And, end quote. So, you know, it's very skillfully written. You know, it has a wonderful cadence to it throughout, and amazing imagery as well. You know, as you're looking out of this glass bubble and steel, black donuts stick to black ribbons, cutting through various shades and tone, seeds of brown on this daily occurrence of deja vu. And I mean, he's basically talking about being stuck in a car on a highway with the donuts stuck to the black ribbons being the roads. And cutting through various shades and tones, seeds of brown, which I'm sure is exhaust fumes. But, you know, and then he closes his eyes like a Venus flytrap upon a mortal that shall replenish its strength. The highway of the mind opens its ears like music to a blind man. So, you know, he begins daydreaming, and he sees Bach floating upon tones upon the Ladenburg, arms raised, his fluttering fingers caressed the neck, gallantly holding his bow, a warrior hunting for the great white buffalo. Yeah, just amazing, powerful imagery throughout this poem. Fantastic job, Scott. And Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, I have to say, you know, I like that he put the information in his AN because, like I said, it's an opportunity to learn more, and I like that. But this poem definitely stands on its own without the AN. I like how, to me, it speaks the main idea is that music of life, which everybody hears in different ways and at different times. I really like visionary orbs close like a Venus flytrap upon the morsel that should punish its strength. The highway of the mind opens its ears like music to a blind man. You know, I like how it brings in the voice of music. I see Bach floating tones upon the Ladenburg, arms rising, his fluttering fingers caress the neck, gallantry holding his bow, a warrior hunting the great white buffalo. And, you know, I just really like how it brings in the emotional impact of when you close your eyes and listen to a particularly lovely piece of music. And then, you know, toward the end where it just all of a sudden reality brings you back with that sharp, that harsh honk, honk, honk. And, you know, there's that, like, bit of humor in the end that I really enjoyed, the idea. You can imagine someone in their car radio, in their car, their eyes closed, listening to the radio because they're in a traffic jam, and then all of a sudden the reality that, you know, everything's moving forward again and life continue with or without the music. So excellent write and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Thank you. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I liked it. I liked the way it describes the commute, the daily commute. You're almost imprisoned in this bubble. And then it says almost everything stops, and then it goes into some daydreaming, some reverie. You're stuck in traffic, but it says vibrating strings across the bridge is the snarl congestion. I no longer hear. I see Bach, floating tones upon the Ladenburg, arms raised, his fluttering fingers caress the neck, gallantly holding his bow. It's his mind is drifting away from the commute. His physicality is being held hostage. His mind is an adventure, an anticipation. This brilliant fiddler attends my cue as I am the conductor, raising my hands to wave him on. This orchestra of one awaits. And then, unfortunately, his mind is jolted back into reality again with the sound of the commute. That is a really a very imaginative and quite accurate. I mean, when we release our minds, when we're stuck somewhere, be it a waiting room or the daily commute or metro or what have you, and you feel like you're being held hostage or you're suspended. The mind cuts loose and finds ways to entertain itself until you're thrust back into reality. And so this is a beautiful way he's described it.
Well said. Thank you, Pam. And I'd like to welcome your caller from area code 505. Who is that, please?
It's Scott.
Hello,
hey,
Scott.
Scott.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. So I'm going to grab your poem here. Find it.
I think
okay.
We just read his poem.
I think it's, he said cop. Oh, is it Scott?
Yeah, that's sharp.
Oh, okay. I apologize. So would you like to say anything about your poem, Scott?
So you guys read it?
Yeah, it was just read.
The one about visions on a clear night?
Oh, that's
no.
Different one.
Yeah, this is Cop, right?
Right, Cop.
Cop, yeah, okay.
Oh,
I'm
apologize.
No, that's okay. Okay, your poem's up whenever you're ready to read, Cop.
Okay. You guys all set for that?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. Well, my poem is called A Truth about dreams and visions on a clear night. Before I read this, I want to talk about just a little bit. I live in a place where it's not real active. And so you get bored at times. And so a couple years ago when I was really interested in doing some things, I drove up to Santa Fe, which is about 50 miles from here. And I went to the mountains and it was in December and it was cold in the mountains. And I brought a tent and I hiked in the mountains and temperature was like below freezing for a lot. And there was a day or two where it got warm and I hiked a lot and I stayed out away from my tent and so forth. And I spent some time in the late evening when the stars came out, and I looked for a place where it would be open for me to look at the stars and be able to feel for what was going on with the stars. And there was a river nearby, and I went and I laid down or sat down by the river, and I looked up in the sky, and the constellations were incredible because there was just nobody around, no lights or anything like that. It was just incredible. And so I thought I would write about that. So this is called A Truth about dreams and visions on a clear night. Several winter mornings, I hiked in the Sangre de Cristo Mountains at 4 a.m. at an altitude of approximately 8,500 square feet. 800 feet. Let me try again. 8,500 feet. So that's pretty high in elevation. I hiked to be alive. And when I laid down in the darkness near the river, I opened my eyes and I saw how night breathes, blinking islands alive with color, necklaces of jewels dangling from life, white wings spread and angled and alive with twinkles buried in dense thickets. A rocket of stars pierces night's heart, clusters of beaming lives, of flowing locks of hair resting on dark shoulders and rivers, and streams. Let's see, hang on. I lost this for a second here. Okay. And streams of faraway lives coursing into night shadows. I close my eyes and I weep for my insignificance, for my aloneness, for not recognizing myself. I'm tired and I sleep. I dreamed. Covered bone decayed faster now than when the bone was still part of the beast. That the beast is part of all of us, living alone in forsaken darkness. That darkness begins as an impossible helplessness, overtaking everything about each of us, until we begin to understand the truth about ourselves, that we are mankind, that we are the living, choosing to be alive. Yes, we are the broken, the limping, the decaying little by little, but we are the unseen blood of night and the pulsing sunshine of each day. We have become the rivers to love, the songs about laughter and fear and crying and living and dying. We are all there is, and all of us are life.
Beautiful read. And, you know, this is a deep and intriguing poem, you know, on the subject of just being at nature, in nature, at one with nature, and feeling yourself as part of the whole and not just being in it. And I thought that was a beautiful expression. Thank you for sharing your visions and your dreams. Much appreciated, Cop.
Thanks.
And
I'm glad
absolutely.
You like it.
And Pam, absolutely, yeah. Pam, what did you think?
Well, first of all, I'm really glad, Cop, that you called in to read your poem. It's always good to hear from you. You know, I feel like people are really missing out if at once in their life they don't find somewhere a moment in their life that makes their spirit soar. You know, I thought this had amazing imagery and metaphors. I as Gray says, it's that idea of recognizing that you are, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, but like recognizing that you are a part of a bigger picture. I really like the imagery and dark clusters of beaming lives, of flowing locks of hair resting on dark shoulders and rivers and streams of faraway lives coursing into night's shadows. I dream that earth is a recovered bone decaying faster now than when the bone was still part of the beast, that the beast is part of all of us living alone in forsaken darkness. It's got a wonderful spiritual tone to it. And like that idea of the earth is that decaying bone. What a visceral imagery to describe the way that the earth is falling apart. And, you know, we are part of that. An amazing write all the way through and very well done.
Thank you.
Great comment. Thank you, Pam. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I agree with Pam. This is a very remarkable, very profound piece. It reverberates with your unity with nature, and you've basically just sublimated yourself to the nature around you and immersed yourself in order to truly appreciate and assimilate it can be so. When you're in nature like that, it can be so overpowering and so it can diminish you and make you feel almost insignificant because here you are. This it's like laying in a grass field at night and imagining yourself on the planet spinning through space. And the insignificance of the one soul there, but you've captured your unity with nature so beautifully and so reverentially. It's almost hypnotic.
Thank you, Bobby. I appreciate that. You know, that's really a lot of where I was at with this, because this, again, I live in Albuquerque, and so Santa Fe is like 50 miles from me. And,
oh, yeah,
you know, in the winter, there's nothing to do, you know. And so, you know, I drove up to the mountains, and I was really compelled to be up in the mountains for a while. And I was up there for 4 days, and I pitched a tent, and I hiked around, and there was a lot of snow, and I got through it all. And when I got there, and there was nobody near the water at all, and I laid down, and I fell asleep. I didn't fall asleep so much. As I laid down, I opened my eyes in the evening, and when the stars were out, and the constellations were tremendous. Oh my God, I've never seen the sky be that full of
light pollution.
Right, right. And a lot of
light
pollution. It was scary.
I'm a city kid. I grew up in Chicago, and when I was my first duty station was 29 Palms, and one night a group of us drove out to Joshua Tree when they would still let people in at night, and we parked up on Salton View, and there was no light pollution, and no moon, and it was just stunning. You feel so insignificant.
Yeah, that's it exactly. You feel so insignificant. That's exactly right. And I was, you know, when you're around someplace where there's a lot of light, so forth, and in the evening you can still see the sky and you can still see some stars, and you get used to seeing those. And then when I went back up the mountains like that, and there was nobody around and everything was pitch black, it scared the bejesus out of me. Because of all the light and everything that was going on in the sky and so forth, is I could see so much, and it was just really, really, really cool. And
night was Salton View. I saw 22 shooting stars. I'd never seen one in my life.
Wow, that's pretty cool. That's really neat. That's really cool. And so yeah. And then after that, I had that dream about the earth, and I wrote that down, and it was really cool.
Wow.
I really had a good time with it.
That's amazing, Pete.
Awesome.
Thank you for sharing it.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate it. Okay, I've got the next poem up.
Thanks
it's
so
by Nate Paul Dixon, and she has a SoundCloud. Thank you, Cop. Are you able to hang out, or you got to go?
I hang out for a bit.
Okay. All right, I'm going to play this SoundCloud.
I reminded her twitching apple-flavored wings of the remedy for lost sugar. Those melancholy nose bridges pierced with an onyx star. The space between her soft lips and warm eyes where her sweetest woe called my name. I sat with those dainty brows of orange sweetness staring in eye-rolling rings shooting through breezy nose blushing tongue screaming kiss. And she cried, surprised by my breathness, I handed her a love that is safe for few years now. I did not want to steal a romance, only flower for us. And she spoke those harmonic rivers of joy. You are the only person makes me feel like an angel. As I grasp her lacy feathered robe, denying its human existence. You are my fallen star, my queen, my undeniable grace, my yellow winter, my cavern in the woods, and you reap our rain with spades. You are love, and you are lust, but right now there's nothing more than my good night.
Well, that was a different read. I really liked it, though. I mean, it had a very theatrical quality to it, engaging throughout. And, you know, I really liked the storyline in here. I've kept her safe. I've kept it safe now for a few years now, and I did not want to steal her romance, only flower it for us. And she spoke those harmonic rivers of joy. You are the only person that makes me feel like an angel. And then as she grasps her feathery robe, denying its human existence, You are my falling star, my queen, my undeniable grace. Yeah, just a beautiful poem. Well written, well read. Great job, Nightfall Vincent. Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, I thought this had amazing imagery and metaphors. It was definitely a beautifully, both sweet and intense at the same time. I really liked, I reminded her twitching apple flavor wings of the remedy for lost sugar. I soared those dainty brows with plum juice sweetness. I like the how it brings in the idea of noticing every little detail about people, about someone. And I like how there seems to be about this general vibe of two free-spirited people who find a sense of connection. And, you know, maybe it isn't a perfect love, but it's something that, you know, gives to both of them. You are the only person that makes me feel like an angel as I grasped her lacy feathered robe, denying its human existence. You know, wonderful observations of seeing the angelic qualities of somebody. So beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I'm not sure. The writing is superb. The metaphors beautifully expressed. I agree with Pam. It's got a very romantic the connection between the two people. However, I in seeking perhaps to be unique in the reading, I found the SoundCloud disturbing in its dissonance. And I found it difficult to follow the emotion of the verse because of just the delivery. Perhaps just my uneducated ear is not used to it, but it threw the whole thing off for me.
I can get that. I understand. All right. Thank you, Bobby. And Cop, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I kind of felt the same way. It was interesting. I liked the right. The right was really cool. And he had lots to say about that, about his relationship. And I liked that. In a lot of respects, I felt like the SoundCloud for that was adjusted to give it that sound in a certain way. And it kind of came across as being odd for me, but I listened and I followed, and there was a lot to get from that, and his relationship and so forth, and I liked the idea of the relationship, and the actual man and woman issues that take place. And it's just that SoundCloud was odd, and I thought it added to the oddity of the poem. It was cool. The poem was well done, and I've been waiting to hear this, and so I was like, I was really good. I liked it.
Great comment. Thank you, Cop. Okay, Pam, I've got the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
I would be happy to. All right. Let's see here. All right. It was I. By Ruth M. Martz, and it goes like this. Sometimes the sky seems so dark, reflecting how I feel, but knowing there is a lesson for me, I oftentimes don't know it, nor is it shown to me. I walk the dark and foggy path. I only know I must continue, for darkness must lift and sunshine will come back again. Or do I take the sunshine for granted? The velvet calm helps me to go on. The darkness turns bright with twinkling lights. The stars once more appear, all in their constellations. They never disappeared. It was I who changed, for better or for worse. When I am gone, the stars will still shine on. End poem.
Beautiful, beautiful read, Pam. And I really like Tomahawk's comment. He says, one can only do what one can do. A concerted effort means so much, even if failure is the result. And you know, that's so well stated. And, but, you know, it's a fabulous rite. You know, it really speaks to her ability to understand her relationship with the world around her and the skies, the stars in the sky, and how that dark sky can be a reflection of her own self. And then, you know, in the end, it was I who changed for better or for worse. When I am gone, the stars will still shine on. Yeah, it's a beautiful poem. What did you think, Bobby?
I thought it was deeply philosophical, very introspective. I walk the dark and foggy path. I only know I must continue. Or do I take the sunshine for granted? There's the author asking themselves a lot of questions. A lot of soul searching. It was I who changed for better or for worse. When I am gone, the stars will still shine on. Beautifully stated in that if we look for change, perhaps we ought to look to ourselves before anything. And, you know, is it be the reality you want to be or something? I can't remember the exact quote. I probably butchered it. But this is a beautifully a metaphysical, philosophical rite, and a very economical, just no wasted language in this at all.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bobby. And Cop, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I like the broadness of this because it really touches upon all of Earth and all of things that you can think of. And how do I relate to all those things that I think of and that I can look at and I can feel, and so much of this is a feel. I feel like I'm better or worse, or I'm getting by, and I feel like I can be almost like a star or something that's there always and reminding you of that, and it's deep. This has a deep feel to it, and I really like the idea of how you compare yourself with the sky and things that are everlasting, and so it impresses me. I like it quite a bit.
Well said, thank you, Tom. And Pam, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I really like this, and I have to agree, it has a wonderful philosophical tone to it. I like how it's a poem of self-reflection, that looking up at that dark, starry sky and realizing what you have to offer the world, you know, your own light, and yet realizing that that it, you know, I think there's a certain amount of strength in realizing our own insignificance. It was I who changed for better or for worse. When I am gone, the stars will still shine on. You know, yes, you know, we are part of this beautiful creation. Yes, in our own darkness and other people's darkness, we can be a light. But, you know, as she says, the stars will still shine. You know, life will still continue when we are gone. And, you know, I think that's just a beautiful and profound thought, and it's very well written.
Thank you, Pam. Great comment. Okay, Bobby, I have the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Thanks. And I go to, because of night, we appreciate sunlight, by Rama B. Without darkness, stars' existence goes vain. Sans scorching sun, we won't appreciate rain. If snow didn't cover the ground, we won't relish spring and surround. If hunger and thirst we never felt, on thought of eating our mouths won't melt. If we never experience sickness, pain, in good health, happiness will not attain. If we are always happy, its existence we will casually dismiss. End poem.
Beautiful read, Bobby. And I really like that, you know, it's a yin and yang reflection of light. You know, without darkness, there is no light. You know, if snow didn't cover the ground, then we wouldn't relish spring all around, in surround. Yeah, I thought it was just a beautiful brevity on the subject of, you know, the good and the bad of life and carrying through regardless. Just a beautiful poem. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, I really like it. It had a nice flow to it. I like that it really reflects the quote well. You know, there needs to be a certain darkness in order to see the stars. And you're right, it does have a yin-yang quality. And I like that he doesn't just stick with the idea of the night sky and the stars, though he brings that up right away. He also brings up, you know, if there wasn't snow, would you appreciate the spring? And, you know, I really like, if hunger and thirst we never felt, on thoughts of eating, our mouth won't melt. You know, the idea that, you know, the watering mouth at the thought of food is a physiological reaction to the hunger and the discomfort and hunger of thirst. I really like how this is all about how awareness of what the not so good sides of life reveal to be blessings. So very well done.
Beautiful comment, Pam. Thank you. And Kopp, what are your thoughts?
I liked it. I felt that it was really organized, and it was. And even though it was short, it carried a lot of weight to talk about. This is what I know, and this is what I think that life is about. There's a lot to be said in these few lines. And Rama has a way of identifying the things that we do or do not appreciate in our lives. And so much of this is clearly strictly about appreciation. I appreciate being alive. I appreciate being able to do what I do. I'm really thrilled that I could do it. I'm glad that I get to see the light and not the darkness. I can eat what I can. And it's always, you know, a lot of what this poem is about is appreciation and getting by, you know, getting by and enjoying appreciation. Sometimes it's such a small thing, and at other times that smallness, it gets to be huge because of the appreciation. I thought it was wonderful.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you, Cobb. And Bobby, what did you think?
Well, this was very well written. It illustrates very, very clearly the necessity of contrast. If there is no contrast, one's existence is colorless and bland and without any kind of significant highs or lows. It's beige, the author has very very clearly and very elegantly with this rhyming brevity pointed out how essential those contrasts are and even the negative ones to our appreciation of life in general. It illustrates a Buddhist philosophy that in any bad situation, there's an element of good. The goal is to find it. And in that contrast, you see the good.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Bobby. That was a great comment. Okay, I've got the next poem up. It's called Nocturnal Star. It's by Poetic Picasso, a.k.a. Frank, and I have a SoundCloud for him.
Within the gloomy layers of the darkness of the night, there is a bright constellation of the sparkling stars, seen only through the magical lens of your exotic eyes. You stare into the depth of my dalliance in romance. Amidst the starry night, you are moonstruck by my guiding light, taking you to the furthest realm of the cosmos upon my heat, where you ride the celestial tail of our powerful passion, while we plunge our bodies into the secrets of a black hole, emerging then as a luminous supernova created by our desires. Your hair is the only shade of space waiting for my caress. You are blinded by the beauty of my enrapturing reflection, for no light could shine more in the darkness of mine. I just want you to see the light of my impassioned glow. I could touch your lips with a stellified kiss to awaken your longing, release your lust from the cold moon, and ignite suddenly its central sun, till we make love beneath the canopy of the erotic universe, where the light of our fusion succumbs to the fireball of our seduction. Eres la oscuridad y yo soy la luz. You are the darkness and I am the light. Déjame ser tu estrella nocturna. Let me be your eternal star. Look for me tonight after the twilight. In the tongue.
Wow, what a beautiful read on this sensuous, passionate, voluptuous, right? You know, it's filled with such steamy imagery and emotions. You can feel the passion and the desire. It comes out of each line and each stanza, each one locking into the one before it, creating this beautiful painting of this surreal, ethereal coming together of two souls and just its pure erotic bliss. Just amazing. What did you think, Pam? Hello, Pam?
I'm sorry. I'm here. I tend to mute myself for SoundCloud or longer readings and don't always remember that I did that. But, yeah, I have to agree with you. It's deeply sensual, deeply romantic, wonderful imagery and metaphors throughout. I even really like the title, Nocturnal Star, and the idea, and I think that reflects well on the idea that, you know, a star is always in the sky. You know, it's just that we don't see it until the darkness comes, you know, the nighttime comes out. I really liked that second stanza that says, with amidst the starry night, you are moonstruck by my guiding light, taking you to the furthest realm. And also, your hair is the onyx shade of space waiting for my caress. You're blinded by the beauty of my enrapturing reflection. For no light could shine more in the darkness than mine. I just want you to see the light of my impassioned glow. The idea of being that guiding light to somebody, I think, is a very deep thought and beautifully written and very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Pam. And Bobby, I hope you had your seatbelt on.
Always. And my helmet.
Yeah,
I really like the way Frank has combined the mystery and the mysticism of the night with the umbral qualities of his lover, how both are dark and mysterious, and both are sensual and evoke passion, and how they blend with one another throughout the evening. I could touch your lips with a stealthified kiss to awaken your longing, release your lust from the cold moon, and there it is. And until we make love beneath the canopy of erotic universe, and he's got it's the mysticism of his lover with the mysteries of the night, beautiful fusion.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comment, Bobby. Thank you. And Cop, what are your thoughts?
I agree with that. I agree with a lot of what Bobby's got finished talking about. It really strikes me you don't realize, sometimes you don't realize what kind of effect you have on other people. And when the only, in certain respects, I think the only way you can really find that out is to try to expand that effect and see what's going on with that. And so this poem, I really felt it works its way into the topic of the process here. And so Nocturnal Star and My Light is Brighter Than Yours, and I Will Attract You, so forth and so on. I think that fits the goal of the process here for this writing. And I think that Frank did a wonderful job with what he wrote and how he presented it. And the presentation, you have to listen hard to pick up a lot of what's being said. And that listening really reminds you of this is powerful. And this overrides a lot of things. And I find that to be, really spiritual and effective as far as the poem goes. I think it's pretty cool.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Cop.
Hey, I appreciate it. I got to go, guys.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Have a good night.
Hey, thanks. I appreciate it. Thanks for letting me.
Absolutely. Thank you for calling in.
I'll see you.
Okay, so I've got the next poem. This is by Nicholas William, and it's called The Time. Extreme circumstance, open minds, it is the season, all over earth. Minds are opening. Enough to light up a new city in the sky, end poem. And I really liked it. I mean, it's a powerful little brevity on the subject of, all of our conscious combining to become this light in a new sky. I mean, a new city in the sky. I thought it was such a powerful, powerful poem. Such a beautiful little brevity. And Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, I really thought this was an amazing brevity. I like this straightforward and relatable imagery, and yet there's this wonderful underlying message. To me, I really feel like the main message of this is that knowledge is light, and shared knowledge becomes a brighter light. I particularly like all over Earth, minds are opening. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Wonderful comment. Thank you, Pam. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I like Pam's observation that open minds shed light and more minds opening shed a brighter light. It's an interesting observation, too, that the brevity makes, and it is a very tight write, very, very succinct. Pointing out that extreme circumstances opens minds. And this is a very astute observation, because as we fall into our comfort zone and our routines, how many of us have driven to and from places on autopilot, not really realizing, until we get there, we're going, like, how did I get there? become inured to our surroundings. And yet with things like with COVID or extreme situations or disasters, we tend to realize how precious and fragile things are, and it opens our senses up to, I think, a finer appreciation of the simple joys of life. And the extreme circumstances opens minds all over Earth. Great observation.
Absolutely. Great comment, Bobby. Thank you. Okay, Pam, I think I've got the next one up there, if you wouldn't mind reading out please.
Sure, I'd be happy to. All right. Light and Darkness by Emily Dickinson. And it goes like this. No doubt we cannot see heaven's array of stars until darkness befalls our sky. Just as it's challenged our relationship, we need but see the light between the pain and our shadows for it to leave no doubt. Struggles in the dark allow us to see the light. No gain stands dark's pain. End poem.
Beautiful read, Pam. And I mean, you know, this is a wonderful response to the poem, to the quote. You know, I mean, we all need a little darkness to see the light. You know, you can't have light without darkness. So that's the yin and yang of life. And I thought it was such a powerful message. What did you think, Bobby?
I think it is a very powerful message. I think it is a really astute interpretation of the prompt. And it points out, the importance of contrast in our appreciation of the yins and yangs of life. No gain sense, dark pain. It's a very nicely done brevity, and it reads beautifully.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you, Bobby. And Pam, what are your thoughts?
I really like, first of all, the shaping of this poem. It's kind of cool how there's like almost like a diamond shape. And then it's almost like you could imagine it being a star or a lamp on a stand. I have to agree with Bobby. It's a wonderful write on the importance of the darkness to show us the light. I really like this all the way through, but especially we need but see the light between the pain and our shadows for it to leave no doubt. Wonderful, heartfelt write, and very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Pam. Okay, Bobby, I have the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Okay, we have Art of Possibility by Robert J. Teese. Our edges pressure emptiness, exerting form upon the void. Yet absence gives its definitions, exhibiting what is nowhere. Each vacancy reveals much. For brushstrokes cease or notes release, a vanity we need to clutch. The verse unsaid or never read, a mystery most theories prove. The stillness thrilled if dancers move, an awkwardness which frames our grace. Unwanted margins to erase. Outside the lines of time's bright show, there's little we might find or know between our recklessness reckoning and endless threads of questioning. So how should darkness shape all space or claim our worlds must whirl apart? And who speaks clearly where love runs beyond the contours of a heart? Confuse no shadow with the night. Mistake no flaming for the light. Surpassing silhouettes we see, life's canvas spreads incessantly. The blankness painting what we may be, the art of possibility. End poem.
Three, Bobby. And that was an excellent poem. You know, I mean, it was just filled with amazing imagery. And who speaks clearly where love runs beyond the contours of the heart? Confuse no shadows with the night. Mistake no flaming for the light. You know, it's a powerful, powerful poem written with amazing structure and a fascinating storyline. So just a beautiful job. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, I have to agree. This is just amazing imagery and metaphors. I really like the phrase, the art of possibility. I feel like this is a great poem on reflecting inward and realizing that there's a beauty and grace to your spirit. I really like when brushstrokes come, our notes release, the vanity we need to clutch, the verse unsaid or never read, a mystery about theories proved, the stillness thrilled if dancers move. There is so much beauty in this world, beauty found in the thinker's mind, beauty found in the dancer's body. And we can't limit ourselves to thinking that there is only one kind of beauty and one kind of grace when there's so much being offered up. So beautifully written and very well done.
Excellent comment, Pam. Very astute. And Bobby, what did you think?
Oh, I enjoyed this piece. I really did. This was a very complex write, very cerebral, very layered, a very subtle rhyming pattern. I like the way he broke his thoughts. He gives you a pause between each one, so you can linger over what's being said or what's being written. And there's a deeply philosophical thread through the whole piece, beautifully done. And again, I agree with Pam, the last stanza, surpassing silhouettes we see, life's canvas spreads incessantly, the blankness painting what we may be, the art of possibility. Beautifully said, very thought-provoking. And I found it interesting how in his writing he makes references to artistic references almost toward negative space, giving the absence. He says, yet absence gives its definitions, exhibiting what is nowhere. And there's a lot of very astute observations in this. I've tucked this one away in my favorites.
That's awesome. Great job. And, okay, I think we've got time for one more, so I will pull up another poem here. This is called Necromancer by E.J. Cool. Okay. He bound her in the frozen ground, wrapped in wood and white linen. She spoke to him without a sound, kissing black dirt and lichen. He met her blue-silver eyes with his deep, dark, Cyprian gaze. She lifted her with lost love sighs, cooed against pale skin's icy glaze. Telestic, feather-like finesse, divested death's tapestry upon the altar to confess the sins of necromancy and poem. And this is a powerful poem on the subject of, you know, somebody making love to dead people. It's definitely hard hitting and impactful in its message. Telestic, feather light finesse, divested death's tapestry upon the altar to confess the sins of necromancy. Haunting, haunting poem, very dark. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, I definitely have to agree. I think there's a couple different ways you could take this poem. I think it does make for a dark and cryptic tale of, you know, necromancer, somebody who brings the dead back to life. But I also think that perhaps if we looked at it metaphorically in the idea of the type of feeling dead inside, but finding the type of love that works, that kind of magic that just brings you back to life, it brings your hope back to life. It's definitely an intriguing write that I think has layers to it. Beautifully written and very well done.
Absolutely fabulous comment, Pam. Thank you for sharing that. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
Another very skillful write by E.J. Cool. She's got, it is a dark piece, deliberately so, and the sins of necromancy are, she's referring to the practice, the supposed practice of communicating with the dead, especially in order to predict the future. I believe that the sciences were alchemy, necromancy, and the black arts. And I think that's what the sin is referred to as the black arts or wizardry. But it also does talk about, Pam's a reference to the internal darkness and someone bringing light to it, I think is a great observation. But I think here, again, we have been treated to E.J. Cool's superb command of language and her dexterity in writing and assembling different phrases in order to give us a very complex word picture. He met her blue silver eyes with his deep, dark Cyprian gaze. Cyprian was, a bishop in Carthage and a writer and was canonized later. But this is talks about a very dark person. I think it's, again, telestic, feather, light finesse. She just weaves such a fascinating word picture.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you, Pam. Thank you, Bobby. And Pam, would you like to say anything about any upcoming shows?
Join us 30 minutes after this show for After Midnight with Rex and Pam, where we will be delving into poetry inspired by quotes by Francis Picabia.
Oh, great. Thank you, Pam. And Bobby, would you like to say anything about any upcoming shows?
Well, we just had one Saturday, which I think was a rousing success, and I thank you for your assistance in making it so. But Pam, you were missed. We missed your bright, astute observations. But I must say that in his technical skills, Gray acquitted himself extremely well. So thank you, Gray, for that. We won't have another show coming up until a week from this coming Saturday, but the contest that we'll be showing is very interesting in that it is photography, but it is photography of abandoned buildings, abandoned properties, abandoned places and spaces and things. And so you can look at these once lively places and let your imagination run wild.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you, ladies, for calling in tonight, sharing your heart, your mind, your voices, and most especially your time. Much love, ladies.
Shall do. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody. Much love.